A grayscale logo of a sailboat appears. Anchor Bay Entertainment. A Starz company. The sun cresting the curve of the earth dots the eye in Epic Pictures. Red letters GTAC multiply, then converge into the silhouette of a mosquito, and becomes the letter T in sight B. White letters zoom forward from a black screen, Snowfort Pictures, then the word Pictures turns purple. Three panels depict hot air balloons against a colorful sky. Film Harvest. Text on screen, aggression scale, noun. A psychological test measuring the frequency of overt aggressive behaviors that may result in physical or psychological injury to others. On a sunny day, a woman jogs on a suburban sidewalk, wearing shorts and a windbreaker. She passes a parked white van, then slows down, pulls out her earbuds, and crosses a front yard. Next door, a young boy and girl play on the lawn and she waves at them, then goes to open her front door. Inside, a gray-haired middle-aged man stands in the entrance, pointing a rifle at her. The bullet blows through her, splattering blood as she flies back onto the yard. Both kids stare at the gray-haired man, while the boy holds a toy orange rifle. The man aims a camera at the body and it spits out a photo, then he leaves. The screen goes black. Purple letters on a black background alternate between black on purple. Opening credits, Site B, Epic Pictures Group presents, A Snowfort Pictures, Film Harvest Production. Now, a man in a suit walks in an underground garage. He enters the driver's side of a white luxury SUV. A white van careens around the corner and stops in front of the vehicle. The gray-haired man exits the backseat of the SUV, holding a rifle, then opens the passenger door. He snaps a photo of the now lifeless man in the suit, with his bloody head on the steering wheel. Then, the gray-haired man climbs into the van. The van speeds away from the blood-splattered SUV. Opening credits continue, Fabian Therese, Ryan Hartvik, Dana Ashbrook, Derek Mears, Jacob Reynolds, Joseph McKellier, Boyd Kestner, Lisa Rotondi, and Ray Wise in The Aggression Scale. Casting by Joe Lorenzo, costume design by Bridget Colella, production design by Mary Steves, art direction by Shannon Hookway, special FX makeup by Mike Strain Jr. Fantasy Creations FX. Sound design by Jeff Green. Original music by Kevin Riepel, director of photography Jeff Dolan, executive producers Zach Zeman, Jenna Wilbur, Gus Garcia, executive producers Patrick Ewald, Sheikh Berenson, Bob Bertosevich. Produced by Travis Stevens, Evan Kostbar, Joseph McKellier, written by Ben Powell, directed and edited by Stephen C. Miller. Caption, 1 hour earlier. An aerial view flies over Rochester, New York. Now, the gray-haired man leans against a large trailer on risers, wearing sunglasses in an empty lot. He is in an industrial area near smokestacks. A black SUV approaches. He takes off his sunglasses and creases his brow as he watches the SUV pull up next to him. A short bald man wearing aviator sunglasses and a t-shirt gets out from the driver's side and opens the back door. An older man wearing a dark suit emerges from the vehicle. He holds a plush toy bear and heads for the trailer, then goes inside.
Good to see you out, boss.
The gray-haired man follows the boss inside, where two other thugs stand waiting. The boss puts the bear down and faces them.
Back in this fucking place. Not much better than my cell.
The boss sits.
It's only for a couple days, right?
Yeah, one way or another.
He opens a drawer, takes out a green bottle, and pours a drink into a styrofoam cup, then chugs it.
Oh. This is the guy?
No, this is their lawyer.
Holding a bloody hammer, a tall bald thug lifts a blood-soaked cloth off the lawyer's head, who is tied and gagged.
You do know that I'm convicted of murder, right? I'm out on bail on $1.5 million. I have the next 48 hours to pack up me and my kid and find some non-extraditable country with good weather and cheap drinks, and you bring me the wrong fucking guy? Where's my money, Lloyd?
Working on it.
You're working on it.
We have a list.
Gray-haired Lloyd snaps his fingers.
People that worked with him? People that might have had access to the money.
A thug with a goatee hands a page from a notebook to Lloyd, who gives it to the boss. He stands up, examining the list. The boss walks over to the lawyer with a rag in his bloody mouth.
You sure? He doesn't know about anything else?
Lloyd exchanges looks with the other thugs, then nods. The boss grips the lawyer's throat with one hand and squeezes.
Now, we don't have time to do this thing clean, Lloyd. So you get the guys, and you go down this list, and you kill them all. And then you find my money, understand? Wives, families, I don't give a fuck. Whoever stole one bent penny from my cash.
Will do.
Loud and messy, Lloyd. Loud and messy. I want to send a message they don't fuck with me. And I want proof that you did the job right. You earn your respect with this. And you'll be running the show from here on out. You fuck up, and the next guy gets a piece of paper with your name on it.
The boss lets go of the now lifeless lawyer's neck. Then, he takes a golden watch off his own wrist and hands it to Lloyd.
Huh. It keeps real good time. You got 48 hours.
The tall, bald thug creases his forehead and looks at Lloyd. Now, at a building downtown, the short, bald thug, the tall, bald thug, the thug with a goatee and Lloyd exit an elevator in slow motion. Lloyd wears the camera around his neck as the others surround him, keeping a lookout. The thugs make their way through the empty marble hallways with glass partitions and doors. The tall thug grips his rifle and Lloyd pulls his handgun out of his pants. Around the corner, a man whistles and carries a file box into the hallway. He sees the thugs and stops dead in his tracks. They draw their weapons, and the thug with a goatee jumps over a cubicle towards him with a hunter's knife. He pushes the blade against his neck, then shoves him into a room. He throws him against a desk. He falls, then turns to get up on his knees and comes face to face with Lloyd's handgun. The other thugs also surround him, weapons drawn.
Look like a guy that just struck it rich to you.
The tall, bald thug shakes his head.
Me neither.
He sees a briefcase.
Does look guilty, though.
The tall one rifles through it.
Somebody gave you money that doesn't belong to you.
No, I swear to God.
Shut up!
He finds an envelope.
Hey.
The short one grabs it and sees the money inside.
Freddy?
Freddy counts.
20 grand. Out of all that money?
Lloyd shoots him at close range.
Cheap bastard.
Freddy, the short one, smirks, and the thug with a goatee wipes blood off his brow. Lloyd takes a photo, then shakes the print that the camera spits out. He sees a framed photo of four people. He picks it up and takes it with him, as he follows the others out of the blood-splattered room. Elsewhere, on a rural road, a burgundy SUV follows a yellow box truck driving past fields and farmland. Inside the box truck, a preteen blonde boy sits in the passenger seat, and next to him, a middle-aged man drives. The boy repeatedly opens and closes the glove box, and the man glances over to him, then looks ahead, smiling faintly. Inside the glove box is a first aid kit.
Nice to be out of the city. Out here on the open road. Here, why don't you work with this for a minute?
He hands him a book of puzzles, and the boy starts to trace a maze.
I know it's a lot, all at once, kiddo.
He focuses on the maze.
But I think it's the best thing for you. I mean, look around.
The boy stays focused.
You have all of this space and fresh air. Plus, this will give us all a chance to get to know each other. I mean, Maggie's fantastic, you know? And I'm sure you and Lauren will get along just fine.
The dad glances at the boy concentrating on his puzzle work. He sees that he traced the outline of a crouched figure, aiming a machine gun, and knits his brow. The boy puts the book away. In the burgundy SUV, an older teenaged girl drives, while a woman wearing a sling talks to her from the passenger seat.
How you holding up?
The teen fixes her gaze ahead.
Is there something you want to talk about?
Please leave me alone.
Lauren, I...
What? What? Is there anything that I can say that's going to make us turn the car around and go back home?
Honey, I understand
no,
this is a...
No, you do not understand.
Lauren shrugs her mother's outstretched hand off of her.
Listen, I am dealing with this. I just really don't want to talk about it. Please leave me alone.
Maggie runs her hand through her hair, then turns to look out the window. The yellow box truck and burgundy SUV pass a car sales lot, with rows of cars parked outside. Then, they arrive at a three-story colonial-style home at the end of a long country road, lined with mature trees. The red brick colonial home has a white porch with columns, and multiple rows of windows with dark shutters. The truck and SUV roll up the side and park in the circular driveway in the back. The isolated property has a carriage house in the back. Maggie gets out of the burgundy SUV with a yellow sticker on the windshield that reads 2003. With her right arm in a black sling, she looks around, smiling.
Welcome home, ladies.
Maggie joins the dad and Lauren gets out of the vehicle. Lauren has long brown hair and wears a long black t-shirt with short jean shorts and black combat boots. The boy looks around stone-faced.
What do you guys think?
In a plaid shirt and shorts, the dad spreads his arms gesturing to the property and Maggie laughs.
You're out of your mind if you think I'm using that clothesline for laundry.
She looks up at the house grinning. Expressionless, the boy takes in the size of the large home. The dad goes inside the empty home, and the others follow.
Lauren? Take your brother upstairs and help him pick out a bedroom.
The blonde boy inspects the structure and Lauren looks him up and down.
It's not my brother.
The dad nods, raising his eyebrows, and Maggie rolls her eyes at Lauren.
Come on.
Lauren tugs the boy by the arm and then he follows her upstairs, his eyes fixed on the home's details.
They're gonna be fine.
Maggie wraps her good arm around the dad and upstairs. The boy continues to scrutinize the structure.
Here you go. All yours. Can you believe it?
Lauren opens the door right off of the stairwell.
You unlucky little kid.
He moves inside slowly.
Knock yourself out.
She walks away and he turns partially towards her, then returns his focus to a large double-hung Georgian window with a dozen panes. He examines the structure, framed by old rosy curtains. Outside, the dad walks over to the box truck. He pushes the roll-up door and it flies open, revealing assorted boxes and household items. Standing inside the truck, he offloads the smaller items one by one. Then he pushes furniture and positions them near the opening. Inside the house, moving boxes line the entrance, and Maggie carries in items, bound for the kitchen. She lays a satchel by the stove and unpacks it. She takes out an ornate table lamp stem, with a light bulb and no shade, and carries it across the house, passing more boxes along the way. The boy crosses her path and carries a baseball glove and metal bat upstairs. Then, Lauren passes him on her way downstairs holding a large clear container with no lid. She searches, then places the box on the dining room table.
Mom, where do you want me to put the cleaning supplies?
Just set them in the basement, by the sink. Thank you.
Now, Maggie sees the dad with a toolbox.
Casey, anything needs any fixing?
Oh, you got a tiny handyman in there?
Stick around, you'll see what your man can do.
I can't wait.
The dad lays the toolbox next to the stairs, now covered with a plastic sheet, and leaves. Elsewhere, a black spider climbs the studs in a room without drywall, while the boy sits, holding a sewing needle with some red string and a plastic straw. He inspects the items, then puts the needle inside the straw and fixes his gaze on the spider creeping up a beam. He puts his mouth on the end of the straw and blows. The needle shoots out and spears the spider. Inside the truck, Lauren helps the dad move a metal cabinet.
I'm so tired.
Sorry, mate, just don't let it go.
Lauren lets go and it falls.
I told you. Oh, come on, where's your can-do spirit?
Look, she's right. Look, you messed up your arm. Come on. See this another time.
Yeah? All right. Come on, honey.
Maggie and Lauren leave, then the dad picks up the fallen cabinet. He rolls the door back down. In his room, the boy sharpens the tapered bits of a Jack's game piece with scissors. Now, Maggie watches Lauren help the dad take a queen mattress upstairs.
Ready, one, two, three, pull.
Go! Ow! This is so stupid, guys, this isn't gonna work.
Lauren sits on the stairs.
Hey, sweetie. Remember that weekend at the cabin? Hmm? Hardwood floors, cheap wine, no mattress.
Leave it.
You guys are so gross. Sweetheart, you are gonna have a completely different idea of gross when you get to be our age.
Where's Owen? You're supposed to be watching him.
He's helping you move the mattress.
Lauren, he's your brother now. Your responsibility. Come on, help me find him. But don't worry about it, it's no big deal. We'll put it together, we'll figure it out.
They leave the mattress leaning at the foot of the stairs and Lauren checks Owen's room.
Ow.
Lauren looks down to see she has stepped on several sharpened Jack's game pieces, sprawled across the wooden floor. Then, she looks up and observes the now semi-furnished room. She kicks the Jack's and leaves. Lauren explores other corners of the large house. Then, she opens a door to the attic stairs and goes up. The attic is dark and unfinished, with some natural light streaming down from an opening above, and small surrounding windows. She peeks around the empty cavernous room, from the top of the attic stairs. Now, she searches another room. She unlocks the door to the basement. She descends slowly into the dark space and stops midway down.
Owen? Owen, are you down here?
She goes back up, and now, outside, she searches beyond the fenced yard. She sees the clothesline attached to a tree, with a snapped rope dangling. Now, she looks next to a long wooden shed.
Owen!
She peeks inside the window of the shed with multiple worn wooden doors. She stomps over to one of the doors and yanks on the handle, and it does not open.
Owen!
She kicks the shed, then glances through another tiny window, and moves on. Now, in a wooded area, Lauren walks along a path.
Owen!
She searches deeper into the dense woods, among the lush green trees. She walks along a bridge over a stream, then spots the blonde boy, Owen. He is standing in a clearing staring at a no trespassing sign on a tree trunk. He is surrounded by old abandoned car parts.
Hey, ding dong!
He fixates on the tree, then Lauren approaches him.
What do I look like to you? Do I look like your babysitter? 'Cause I'm not.
She stands next to Owen.
My mom may have signed on for this bullshit, but I didn't.
Lauren follows his transfixed gaze.
If you want it so bad, just take it.
She rips the no trespassing sign off the tree and shoves it into Owen's chest, handing it to him. She walks away, then stops and turns to him smirking.
Does this whole spooky silent thing really work for you?
He looks away from her, then stares up to the treetops. She tilts her head to the side, watching him through narrowed eyes. He looks back at her and she approaches slowly, with eyes that bore into him. He watches motionless as she approaches with a stern stare.
Come on!
She grabs his ear and yanks it down. He winces and she drags him away. At night, at a motel, Freddy, the tall bald thug, and the one with a goatee load their guns as Lloyd paces.
We all good? Let's get this done. So we can get home before our beds get cold, yeah? Hey, Biggs, I'm gonna need receipts for the shells and the food.
The tall thug.
Seriously? Oh, shit, no, I got them.
Hey. Guys. Road trip rules, all right? You need to make a call, you go through me.
The thug with a goatee wears sunglasses.
Hey, Elvis. What's up with the glasses? Is that what you're going with? For real?
Elvis takes the sunglasses off. Now, at the dining room table, Owen, Lauren, Maggie and the dad eat takeout pizza with paper plates and red plastic cups.
Oh, don't.
Lauren sneers at the dad.
Don't what?
I can see you getting all sentimental.
It's a big deal for me.
The parents have wine glasses with red wine.
Us all being together like a family. Having Owen home again.
Big deal for all of us.
I mean, look at you, climbing the walls right now.
Well, it's not really like I have anything else to do.
I've been thinking about that. This can't be easy for you. And I think you deserve a reward.
Bill, I thought we decided we were gonna wait.
Fine. I've been thinking about this.
Bill takes a sip of wine.
You're 17 now, and I'm sure a lot of other kids around here have one, so say when we finish tomorrow with the truck, I take you up the road to that place, and maybe we find you a nice, decent used car.
Seriously?
Seriously. I mean, living way out here, you're gonna need transportation, plus really be a big help with Owen.
Maggie is startled while Owen inspects his pizza slice. Unfazed.
Why don't you take your brother upstairs and get him ready for bed?
Mom, what's going on?
You heard him. Take Owen upstairs.
Come on, twerk. Let's get you in your PJs.
Lauren pulls Owen's chair back and he gets up, looks around, then follows her. Maggie trembles and downs her wine. Bill walks back into the dining room carrying a tray.
Is everything okay?
He relaxes back into his chair.
Kay, the realtor, brought us some brownies and said she's gonna come by tomorrow with some groceries from town to get us started.
Maggie face palms, then Bill takes her hand in his.
I guarantee you it's gonna get easier.
They hold hands and gaze at each other. Upstairs, Lauren takes clothes from her dresser and packs them into a small duffel, then Maggie enters her room and goes to her dresser.
Leaving already?
Lauren scrambles to hide a pink pouch on her bed. She shoves it in a pillow and faces Maggie.
You want to talk about it?
No.
Lauren resumes packing, as Maggie takes clothes from a box and puts them away in the dresser.
Ask your question.
Sure.
This is what you want for yourself? This is what you want for me?
I know that it's a lot for you to process.
Us moving across town is a lot for me to process. You getting married to a man that you don't even know is a lot for me to process. But me coming home from school and finding all of my stuff in boxes,
it
kind
is
of a little more
complicated, Lauren.
Maggie sits next to Lauren on the bed.
So why don't you explain it to me then?
Jesus, Lauren. 6 months ago, I was a waitress. My life was a dead end until I met Bill. I mean, you know, life doesn't give you a lot of chances, but when it does, you have to grab them.
I just want to go home.
Well, this is your home. Yes, it could be. Lord. Hey, how about just give it tonight? Huh? And tomorrow morning we wake up, it's a whole new day. So fun in our new house. Please, sweetie.
Bill walks up the stairs, with a glass of water and tray. He knocks on Owen's door with the no trespassing sign.
Owen, it's me.
Bill lets himself in. Owen is in bed, eyes open, next to a lit lamp.
Ready for bed?
Bill puts the glass and tray down on the desk next to Owen, then grabs a chair and sits next to him.
You still gonna make with the silent treatment, buddy?
Owen looks at his hands.
Look, I know it's not easy for you, making the transition from that structure to all this freedom. New place, Maggie and Lauren. I mean, I know it's gotta be tough. How are you two getting along?
Owen looks up at his dad, then back down to his clasped hands.
Cut her some slack, okay? None of this is easy for her either. Come on, Hoss. Time for the pills. Sit up.
Bill pops open the lids on the pill tray.
Look, I'm really proud of you, buddy.
He hands Owen a pill.
You're really doing it. I mean, I knew you could. And I've been telling them for years, but they don't listen. You keep up the good behavior, sky's the limit.
Owen chases the pill down with the water.
Okay, well, turn on the internet, and before you know it, I'll have you shopping down at the car lot. Sound good?
Owen gives back the glass and looks at his hands.
I love you.
Owen avoids Bill's eyes.
Sleep tight.
Bill takes the glass and pill tray, then he starts playing a 7-inch record. The record plays next to Owen's bed as Bill leaves. Owen fidgets, looking down at his hands, clasped on his belly as he lies on his back in bed. Now, Lauren quietly creeps down the stairs, past the queen mattress against the banister. She is dressed in pink shorts, a black tank, gray hoodie, and her combat boots. Moonlight streams into the dark house as she stealthily crosses the great room. She exits the back door onto the back porch and lights up a smoke. It's hand-rolled and she takes long drags. She sits down on the wooden porch steps and exhales plumes of smoke. She grips the rollie between her thumb and middle finger and she pulls in a deep toke. Then she holds it between her fingers that are painted with black nail polish. Now, she traces scars on her wrist, as the ember from the rollie glows next to it. Then she reaches back and picks up a green box cutter knife. She slides her thumb up the glider, and the blade pushes out. Then she slides it back and the blade goes down. She turns around abruptly and looks out into the dark night. Then, she gets up and goes back inside. She walks past the living room and stops in front of the queen mattress against the banister. She looks at it as she is being watched. Something rustles and she flinches.
What the fuck are you doing back there?
Owen stands up behind a stack of boxes.
Pounder, you want me to shit himself? Get the fuck up to bed.
Owen walks past her, in blue pajamas with a price tag sticking out.
Hold up. Got a tag.
Lauren uses the box cutter and snips the tag off. Owen then goes upstairs, and she returns her focus to the mattress for a moment before following him. In the morning, Maggie scrambles eggs with a baking tray on the stove. She holds it with an oven mitt over the gas burner. Elsewhere, Bill pushes furniture around. Upstairs, Lauren is in front of a mirror, wrapped in a towel. In his room, Owen ties his laces, maneuvering around a monitor on his ankle. Now, Bill pops his head into the kitchen.
Something smells good.
We're getting there.
Upstairs, Lauren gets into the shower.
Hey, hon, did you find the rest of the kitchen boxes yet?
What?
We're going to be eating with our hands again if you don't find those boxes.
Owen cocks his head towards the sound.
I think the realtor lady's here again.
Maggie hurries out of the kitchen while upstairs, Lauren's head is immersed under the shower stream. Maggie approaches the entrance and a figure is visible through the door's window. Elsewhere, Bill peruses papers near a box labeled medical as Maggie reaches for the handle of the door in slow motion. Biggs, the tall thug, kicks the door in, smacking Maggie in the face. He barges in, pointing a rifle at Maggie.
What do you want?
Bill perks up hearing the commotion. The others charge inside and scope out the immediate area around the entrance, while Biggs keeps his aim on Maggie, squirming on the ground.
Maggie! Oh.
Bill rushes in and Lloyd puts a gun against his head.
Wait. Oh. Money!
Bill!
Please. Talk.
Baby.
Lloyd gives Biggs a nod.
Wait, no, you got the wrong people.
Maggie holds her oven-mitted hand up to Biggs' rifle.
No!
He shoots her in the head.
Mom?
Lauren turns off the shower.
Mom?
Downstairs, Bill crawls to Maggie.
No!
Oh!
Bye, Bill.
Bill hugs Maggie on the ground. Freddy kicks Bill as Lloyd pulls him up. Wearing her towel, Lauren sneaks across the hallway to the top of the stairs. She takes a few steps, angling for a view downstairs. She sees her mom's body lying in a pool of blood around her head. She watches Lloyd take an instant photo of Maggie's face. Lauren's mouth drops open as Lloyd shoots Maggie again.
No.
Motherfucker! Sit down!
No. Bill is held down, and he looks up to see Lauren, then he pushes to rise. Bill rushes the thugs and Lauren makes a run for it and heads back upstairs. Lauren grips her towel and runs to her room.
Get the kids.
Biggs goes.
Get rid of the body.
Inside her room, Lauren hastily gets clothes from her dresser. In the upstairs hallway, Biggs observes wet footprints and smirks. Now dressed, Lauren breaks her window while opening it and cuts her hand and wrist deeply.
Shut the fuck down!
Elvis sits Bill down forcefully on a chair. Bill hunches over and faces Lloyd.
What did you do with Mr. Bellavance's money?
Bill raises an eyebrow and Lloyd whacks him with a pistol. Lauren bends over in anguish as she wraps her wrist in a white cloth. Biggs turns corners cautiously, following the prints, and aims his rifle as he passes doors. The cloth is soaked in blood. Lauren elevates her hand, wearing pink shorts and a green tank top. Biggs approaches her room stealthily in dark worker's overalls. Lauren looks towards the closed door and furrows her brow. Then, Biggs enters. He aims the rifle into the room. He scans the space and sees the stacked and overstuffed cardboard boxes. He moves carefully through the room searching and inspects under the desk as he approaches the window. He looks at the window and notices the broken glass. He touches blood on the jagged edge of the shattered glass and rubs it between his thumb and finger. He looks down and sees more blood leading to the closet. Downstairs, Bill has a bloody brow.
Listen, we just moved here. I don't know anything about any money.
Lloyd crouches in front of him and holds the instant photos.
Neither did this guy.
He holds up the photos one by one.
Or this guy.
Bill winces as Lloyd places them in front of him.
And this bitch didn't know anything about Mr. Bellavance's money either.
He holds up the framed photo with four people.
See, I found this.
Bill creases his forehead and Lloyd smiles. Upstairs, Biggs smirks and leans his head on the closet door as he knocks.
Hello in there.
He prepares his rifle, then twists the doorknob and opens. The closet is empty except for a suitcase and Lauren's towel. Biggs inspects the frame of the closet. As he inspects it, Lauren slides out from under the bed undetected. She notices her combat boots as Biggs looks into the luggage and sniffs the towel. He drops the towel and then checks under the bed. It is empty. Behind the stack of cardboard boxes, Lauren crouches and grabs the green box cutter. She grips it tightly as Biggs walks out of the room. He slowly moves down the hallway. He perks up as Lauren stealthily slips past him, behind his back. He turns but misses her. Now she rushes down a hallway towards Owen's room. Biggs catches up to Lauren at the door and traps her by pressing his body against hers and pinning her to the door.
Hi.
He grabs her face to turn her around, and her hand inches towards the knob.
Oh no, looks like you got a boo-boo.
She turns the knob and they fall into the room. Owen sits watching Lauren crawl away from Biggs.
Owen, help!
Owen gets up and grabs the metal baseball bat. Lauren kicks Biggs in the crotch. Owen whacks him in the head with the bat, and Biggs falls out into the hallway. Owen shuts him out, then grips the bat with two hands as Lauren retreats from the door. She fishes the box cutter out from her boot, and Owen takes it from her. He opens the cutter and uses the casing to wedge the door shut. Biggs now rams the door, and Lauren steps out of the window onto the flat overhang above the porch. Biggs knocks a wedge out as Owen is at the window.
Come on, you don't understand. Okay, my son is sick. He was in the hospital.
Oh, no, I get it. Boss gets locked up, you see your shot. It's a secret account, right? I mean, who's gonna come looking for it but him?
Look, I didn't mean...
No, you didn't mean to get caught. You didn't mean for Mr. Belavance to get out. You certainly didn't mean for us to come knocking.
What would you do for your son, motherfucker?
Owen, please!
Owen lowers Lauren to the ground off the overhang, then jumps down just as Biggs breaks through the door. Owen grabs Lauren's arm and they run away from the house. Biggs rushes to the window where the box cutter blades, planted into the ledge, pierce his hands. Owen is dressed in all black and pushes Lauren to keep running. Biggs's hands bleed profusely and the others hear him wail.
Stay with him.
Lloyd rushes upstairs with his gun drawn. Outside, Owen removes a hubcap plate from the burgundy SUV and Lauren tries the doors of the vehicle. In Owen's room, Biggs' hands drip blood, and Lloyd's mouth drops open, taking in the damage.
Those fucking kids.
Lloyd walks over to the window ledge.
Oh, watch out for the blades.
He holsters his gun and peers out the window.
Get yourself cleaned up.
He sees books about combat.
What is this? Rambo Book Club?
He takes his pistol out and storms off. Outside, Lauren abandons her efforts.
No!
She runs off into the woods, and Owen takes the hubcap plate, places it on his chest, under his hoodie, and zips up, holding it in place.
Think they're gonna run?
They're gonna run. They won't get far. One piece of business first.
Wait! Outside, the truck, there's a filing cabinet. The money's inside, and I can open it up, but just... Please, please leave my kids out of this.
If we go out to that truck and there's not a cabinet filled with cash, it's not gonna be too late, Pally. Not to find those kids, make them see everything that we're gonna do to you. So, are you lying to me, Bill?
Bill looks Lloyd straight in the eyes.
Owen, we have to go! Owen, come on!
Lauren tugs at Owen's hoodie. He spins around to look at her with intensity, and she freezes up. Then, he takes off for the yellow truck, and Lauren hides behind the SUV. She keeps an eye on Owen, then sees the thugs push Bill out of the house towards the truck. Lauren ducks and spies Bill, escorted at gunpoint. Hunched over, Bill limps ahead as Lloyd and Freddy exchange tentative looks. Bill reaches the back of the truck and grips the siding.
Open it up.
Bill complies and Freddy keeps a rifle pointed at him.
Come on!
Elvis arrives in the kitchen with a bottle as Biggs holds his hands closed.
Open them.
Shit.
Come on, open them.
Biggs holds his hands over the sink.
Here we go, ready?
Go.
Elvis pours a clear liquid on the wounds. Biggs dents the fridge door.
Come on, get it.
Lloyd shoves Bill inside.
Yeah, I saw a box that said medical.
Elvis opens the file box marked medical and looks inside as Biggs leans over the sink.
I think I'm gonna puke.
You're not gonna puke.
How the fuck do you know?
He opens a blue folder and flips through some pages.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Lloyd pushes Bill to the metal cabinet and puts a gun to his head as Freddy smokes.
You have 60 seconds to open it up.
Bill puts in the combination to the cabinet. Freddy wrinkles his brow and looks at Lloyd. Then he peers around the truck and sees the driver's side door open. He chucks his cigarette butt away and aims the rifle at the door, moving towards it. Lauren watches Freddy with her mouth open. He gets to the driver's seat and looks in. It's empty. He looks at the seat and sees a muddy footprint on the seat cushion and whips his head up. He sees no one and lowers his rifle. Now, on top of the truck and out of sight, Owen uses a severed rearview mirror to observe the activity below. Then he lies down flat on his back. Inside the truck, Bill fusses with the lock and sweats profusely.
Oh, come on!
Lloyd aims his gun. Outside, Freddy climbs up to the roof of the truck as Owen climbs down. He shakes the truck, and Lloyd looks up as Bill opens the cabinet and locates a gun.
The fuck you doing?
Bill puts the gun to the back of Lloyd's neck.
Bill? You should have left this alone. Drop it.
Lloyd drops the gun and Owen runs back into the passenger seat.
You knew when you took that money, someone was gonna come looking for it. Look, I don't want any trouble.
Now, Lauren peeks over the hood of the SUV and sees Freddy looking her way. She hides as Owen grabs the rifle and puts the truck in neutral. Then, Freddy falls on the hood. Inside, the movement gives Lloyd the upper hand, and he overtakes Bill, knocking the gun away. Freddy now falls off the truck, injuring his leg as the truck rolls back. Inside, Lloyd and Bill wrestle and Lauren watches Freddy catch up to the truck from behind the vehicle. Now, Bill pins Lloyd, cutting off his windpipe with his forearm as Freddy hops into the truck. He slithers across the seats on his belly and reaches for the footbrake with his hand. Lloyd kicks Bill, then Freddy pushes down on the brake. Both guns slide to the back of the truck. Bill and Lloyd leap towards them as the door closes from the hard brake. Armed with the rifle, Owen finds Freddy at the front of the truck and puts the rifle at his head. Owen turns his head at a noise, and Freddy reaches for the rifle. Then, they wrestle for it. Elvis and Big startle Lauren. She pulls Owen away from Freddy and they dodge bullets. Owen looks back at the direction of the gunshot and sees Lloyd exit the truck. Owen narrows his gaze.
Owen, what the fuck are you doing? Come on!
Lauren runs deeper into the woods and Owen hesitates, then follows her.
What the fuck happened? These fucking kids.
They're a problem.
Where'd they go?
Down in the woods.
Well, go and find them,
before they find someone to tell their story to. We'll stay here, look for the cash.
Elvis and Biggs look out towards the woods.
Hey, look, Lloyd, you don't understand, man. When we were in the house, we found this box.
Was it full of money?
No, but the kid.
Stop fucking wasting time and go find the fucking kids!
Biggs follows Elvis.
Fuck!
Freddy strains to get up and Lloyd looks at his golden watch. Lauren and Owen sprint through the woods while Elvis and Biggs give chase. Inside the house, Freddy limps around Lauren's room and tears through boxes. Downstairs, Lloyd paces near the file box with medical written on it. Back upstairs, Freddy pulls out drawers and rips through the rest of the room. He shakes the pillows and Lauren's pink pouch falls out. Lauren cradles her wrapped arm as she runs. She collapses by a tree as Owen runs past her. She sits and leans against the tree in agony. Owen slows down and scopes out the area. He sees some drooping branches and inspects them as Lauren writhes. He checks their tension and strength. Lauren approaches Owen, cradling her bleeding arm, and he walks around. Then, he grabs her by the shoulders, looks her dead in the eyes, and sits her down on a stump. She looks up at him as he moves something around in his mouth. He opens his mouth and fishes out a razor blade. Then, he unzips his hoodie, takes out the first aid kit from the truck and drops it at her feet. He walks away and she follows him with her gaze, as her mouth hangs open. Now, Owen sharpens a stick with the blade and Lauren tends to her wound with fresh gauze. He lays the laundry line rope across the ground. He ties one end to one of the drooping branches and pulls it back. At the house, Lloyd still paces. He walks around a red duffel bag, then opens it. He rummages inside, then kicks it away. He takes out his cell.
Yeah.
Lloyd?
I was just wondering if you had the time.
Where the fuck are you, Lloyd? Oh, you know what?
I don't want to know. Just tell me you got the money.
We found the guy. And?
We're working on it, boss.
Lloyd, I gave you
2 days. I'm
sitting here in this dingy-ass trailer with my kid, and we're waiting on you.
You have that money here tonight. But my last act as a free man is going to be
sending some guys after your ass, you hear me?
Lloyd sees the file.
Lloyd?
He moves the receiver away from his ear. He snaps the flip phone closed and reads the file. On a page with the title, Aggression Scale Questionnaire, a note in red ink reads, Danger to Self and Others. Further treatment highly recommended.
Christ.
What?
Look at these.
He shows Freddy graphic photos.
What's this? School bullies. Looks like they pushed our boy one step too far. Kid pretends to run, right? Gets him alone. Bam. That one lost an eye. The other one, he might walk again someday. I don't know. Fuck. The doctor said he wasn't showing improvement. They recommend sending him to an adult lockdown facility. And then, boom, he just got out.
What happened?
Bill Evans's money happened. Our buddy Bill bought his whack job son a get out of jail free card.
Shit. How dangerous is this kid?
Who cares? We just need to get that money and get the fuck out of here.
About that.
Freddy dumps the contents of the pink pouch out. Cash mixed with makeup.
I gotta get those kids.
Lloyd grabs the stacks of cash. In the woods, Elvis and Biggs run, then stop in their tracks.
Did you see that?
What? Thought I saw something move up there.
They move slowly through the dense forest, scanning the area. Biggs looks at Elvis.
This seem worth it to you, man?
Shh.
Come on, man, I'm serious. You read the file. What do you want? Let those kids get away? No, I want to go home. I want to see my wife, and then I want to see my girlfriend. We got a job to do, or neither one of us are getting out of here alive, okay? Yeah, but what you don't understand is this shit, this is not the job. No job, so shut the fuck up and keep your eyes peeled. Come on.
Elvis sees the first aid kit.
Oh, shit, look.
Elvis beelines to the kit by the stump. Then, Biggs rushes up behind him and holds him back. They both scan around the area, then proceed cautiously. Biggs circles around the kit. Nearby, the tension on the branch held with rope wavers in the wind. Elvis watches Biggs hesitate, then Elvis hastily reaches for the kit, and it sets the trap.
Just pick it up.
Jesus Christ!
Biggs wails as the branch breaks his leg.
Get the fucking kid!
Lauren and Owen run ahead. Elvis goes in pursuit, leaving Biggs to squirm.
Doesn't sound like he's dead. Maybe the little bastard doesn't have the sack to kill a man.
Lloyd, you think he might not be trying to kill us?
What's he trying to do then?
Might be trying to have fun with us.
A black SUV pulls up next to the two thugs, chatting in front of the house. Freddy tucks his rifle away as a woman with her hair in an updo gets out holding groceries in a brown paper bag.
Sorry I'm running late, but I brought the groceries.
She stops in her tracks.
Are you friends with Mr. Rutledge?
Yeah, we're just helping him move.
The realtor looks at Freddy.
Is Mr. Rutledge here?
Yeah, he's around back. Yeah, is there anything I can help you with?
She sees the blood splattered on Lloyd's arm and the pistol peeking out from the trousers.
I was just dropping these by, but I can do that some other time.
She drops the bag and runs.
Get in the car, Freddy!
He takes aim. Lloyd shoots her in the head. Now, in the woods, Elvis approaches a clearing. He inspects something in the grass and then takes out his hunter's knife. He follows the path to the clearing with the old car parts. He approaches, carefully scrutinizing the area. He walks past the rusted-out car doors, abandoned tires and empty barrels. He comes upon the small wooden bridge and hesitantly crosses it. He looks under the bridge and between every plank as he takes each step. Tucked under the bridge, Owen covers Lauren's mouth as they crouch, nestled among the brush. Now, Elvis jumps over the bridge railing into the shallow stream. Elvis sees Lauren.
Hi. Whoa. Where are you going?
She climbs out of the stream onto the riverbank.
You got a stick. No. Come on.
Owen sneaks up behind Elvis and whacks him. Elvis's knife falls in the stream. Owen retreats and Elvis gives chase.
Come here, you fuck!
Elvis catches him from behind.
Owen, huh? Fucking game!
Lauren searches the stream.
Huh? Where are you going?
Get up.
Come on, buddy.
Elvis throws him at the foot of a tree, and he sits up against the trunk.
It was a good run, kid.
Owen narrows his gaze and pulls on a rope. An old battery falls and Elvis jumps out of the way. Elvis lunges at Owen, then Lauren starts stabbing him in the back with his knife multiple times. Owen watches Lauren and his expression softens. She falls back, fully spent. Owen scrambles to his feet, then flips over Elvis's lifeless body, and positions it. Crawling backwards on her back, Lauren retreats from the body. She looks at her uninjured hand, now also bloody. Owen takes the old car battery and slams it down, splattering blood on his face. Now, Lauren sits by the stream. Next to her, Owen crouches down and washes the knife in the water. Lauren breathes heavily and watches Owen with a knitted brow. He gets up and turns to her.
Stay away from me!
Owen goes over to Lauren and plants the knife in the ground next to her. Then, he takes the hand she stabbed within his. She resists and squeezes her hand into a fist. She scrunches her face, then loosens her fist. Now, Owen takes her blood-stained hand and tenderly cleans it in the stream. Her face softens as he washes. Then, he takes his jacket and puts it over her shoulders. Lauren cries softly, then mouths a thank you to Owen. He grabs the knife and walks on. At night, at the car lot, rows of cars are parked under floodlights. Lauren and Owen arrive at the lot and Lauren beams. Owen stops her from rushing ahead. Now, he scans the area.
Do you see something? Owen, come on, I don't want to go. Owen!
Owen takes off running and Lauren follows. They crouch and weave between all the large SUVs. Lauren checks the doors on the vehicles, while Owen keeps a lookout. Owen knocks on a headlight, and Lauren turns. He points out the light in the office, then heads straight for it, and Lauren follows. They make it to the door and it is locked.
Shit.
Owen inspects the lock, then turns to Lauren. He goes through his jacket's pocket that she is wearing.
What are you doing?
He finds sunglasses and twists the temple off the hinge. Then he uses the temple pieces and picks the lock. He tinkers with it a bit and opens the door.
Freak.
They They search the dealership and Owen spots keys, hanging on a red board. They run over to it and Lauren grabs a bunch of keys. They run out to the lot and try them out. Lauren points the fobs in the air and clicks as they look around. They run towards the sound, passing rows of vehicles. Owen stops in his tracks and looks around. He sees the realtor's car with the door open, and then ducks. Lauren stops and looks around. Lauren sees Freddy and she ducks behind a car, then peeks over to spy on him. Now she spots Lloyd and she ducks again. There is a thug on either side of her row of cars. Lloyd shrugs at Freddy, then Lauren makes a run for it and they spot her. Lauren dodges a bullet.
Freddy, go get him!
Freddy goes after Lauren. She sees him approaching and hides behind a truck. Lloyd weaves through the vehicles, pointing his pistol. Owen slips by and stealthily moves between the vehicles. Then, Lloyd looks around, exasperated. Lauren weeps, leaning against the small truck. A few vehicles back, Freddy limps closer to her. She makes a move and crouches by an adjacent truck. She watches Lloyd disappear behind a car, then she makes a run for the vehicle again. Lloyd crouches and looks down. Freddy turns a corner, with his pistol drawn, and sees a shadow move. He follows the cast shadow that moves behind a car. Headlights flash behind him and he turns. Another pair flash. Owen stabs Freddy in the back of his skull with Elvis's knife, and blood sputters out of his mouth. Then, he goes to Lauren, hiding behind an SUV.
You used me as bait?
Owen smirks, and puts his hand out to lift her up. Owen gets shot in the chest. Lloyd grabs Lauren by the neck and moves her away from Owen's body. She looks back to see him and he is gone. Lloyd shoves her in the realtor's vehicle. Lauren searches the lot through her window, as her lip quivers.
You have 5 minutes to tell me where the rest of the money is.
Lloyd throws the stacks of cash on her lap. Out on the lot, Owen holds his chest while he leans on a car. He slides down and sits, then unzips his hoodie. He takes out the hubcap plate, stained with blood. He pulls himself up by leaning on the car. Then he goes from car to car for support, and leaves the plate on the ground. Now, sitting in a vehicle, he lifts his shirt and reveals a small bullet wound gushing blood. Using Elvis's knife, he pokes into the side of the wound. The blade angles under the bullet and pops it out. He heats a cigarette lighter. Then, he presses the burning lighter against the open wound. He puts the key in the ignition, then spots a classic purple muscle car, with white fins. He speeds out of the lot in the muscle car, wearing a determined look. He drives on a dark single-lane highway at dusk. At the house, Lloyd shoves Lauren inside the main entry, next to the mattress leaning on the banister.
Worth it! All the shit you've been through, all the people that died for this fucking money, is it worth it?
You tell me.
Money's not worth dying for.
Tell that to your friends. What are you gonna do when you find it?
My job.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not stupid enough to cross Mr. Bellavance.
You're not smart enough.
Lloyd furrows his brow.
Bill and my mom saw a chance and they took it.
They died for it.
Yeah, well, at least they were rich for a minute. You're just an errand boy.
Lloyd purses his lips, then looks down at the watch.
You're wasting time.
No. No, I'm not. I'm buying it.
He slaps her.
I don't have time for this bull!
He points the rifle at her face, and she sticks her chin out. He turns the rifle to the side. The bullet tears through the mattress, and a flurry of dollar bills fly out of it. Lloyd's mouth drops open.
Holy shit.
Lloyd admires the strewn about cash as Lauren takes the table lamp stem off the mantle. She whacks him on the head with it.
Lights out, motherfucker.
She drops the lamp stem and bolts out the door. Lauren gets smacked with a branch. In the basement, Owen combines bleach with ammonia in a container. Lloyd comes to, and Biggs ambles in, using a walking stick from the woods, and a leg brace made out of branches. In the basement, Owen grabs a fishing line off a reel, and in the house, Biggs shakes his head at Lloyd.
Can you fucking believe this shit?
Lloyd pinches the bridge of his nose, then drops his hand to his side. Now, Owen grabs a bunch of rusty nails from a toolbox, and in the house, Lloyd aims his gun at Biggs.
Lloyd?
The gunshot blows Biggs back, slamming him against the wall, and his lifeless body collapses. Lloyd searches in a bathroom, then looks inside a closet and sees an open suitcase. He carries the suitcase downstairs to the mattress. He slows down and sees the money is now gone. He chucks the suitcase across the room and brings both hands up to his head, then runs them through his hair. He sees something on the ground, catching the moonlight in the kitchen. He pulls his gun out from the front of his trousers and holds it up. He walks slowly towards the object, aiming his gun. It is a single $100 bill. He keeps his arm up as he inspects it. Then, he notices the door to the basement is open. He aims the gun at the basement door with one eyebrow raised and crouches down to pick up the bill. He opens the door wider, and heads in. He flicks the switch at the top of the stairs. The switch does nothing, and he descends slowly, hesitating in the dark. He reaches the bottom. From some small windows, natural light streams into the unfinished basement. He leads with his gun around every corner. He whips a cover off an object. It's a chair and empty boxes. He walks through the storage area, with rickety wooden shelves, filled with junk, old cans and canisters. Drapes of cloth cover objects around the dusty room, and he takes some off as he scans the area. In an adjacent room, a bright fluorescent light hangs from exposed beams. Lloyd enters the cavernous room and points his gun around. A wind-up toy robot marches in place, atop a pile of cash, in the middle of the otherwise empty space. Lloyd raises his leg and his foot hovers above the robot. He looks up, and a smile grows on his face. Then, he lowers his foot gently back.
Fuck you, kid!
He raises his gun and leads with it as he exits the room. He manically moves around the basement, hesitating at every corner. Back at the foot of the stairs, he lowers his piece and relaxes his shoulders. Then, he spots a freezer chest, with blood on the handle. He opens it up, pointing his gun. It releases a bell on a rope, that starts a chain reaction. Fumes hit his face. A brick on a counterweight drops, and triggers a fire extinguisher. It pushes out a board with rusty nails sticking up as Lloyd chokes and rubs his eyes, bending over. His eyes and face blister and bleed from the chemical burn. He walks around with his arms outstretched, feeling his way. He stumbles around and steps on a rusty nail. It goes right through his foot and he falls forward, onto the stairs, lined with sharp objects that pierce his hands and face. They are the sharpened Jack's game pieces, and he picks one of them off of his face. He crawls up the stairs and keeps landing on them. He moves up towards the light. Then something darkens the doorway at the top. He looks up, and through wet eyes he sees the silhouette of Owen, and the metal cabinet. Owen smirks at Lloyd from behind the cabinet. Lloyd shuts his eyes slowly and Owen pushes the cabinet. Now, the sun shines high in the sky above. Owen and Lauren are on the porch of the red brick colonial home, surrounded by mature trees. Lauren is asleep on Owen's lap. She stirs, then gets up. She looks at a poker-faced Owen, sitting on the steps of the porch, with a suitcase covered in stickers, placed in front of him. She sports a bruised eye and winces as she straightens up. She touches her eye, then looks out to the yard drenched in sunlight. She looks back at Owen and smiles. Then, she glides next to him and removes a sticker from his knee. He looks down and then back up as she puts her arms around his shoulder. They both gaze out to the property. At the trailer, the boss, Bella Vance, sits at his desk, across from a young teen boy. The boy passes a baseball back and forth between his hands. Bella Vance looks up with wide eyes.
Did you hear the door? Come on.
Bella Vance gets up. Outside, Owen sprints away from the trailer as Bella Vance opens the door.
Hey, what do you want?
Owen runs to the yellow truck at the end of the lot.
Hey, come on back here.
The boss sees an envelope.
Hey, kid, come back here. Little shit.
He picks it up. Then, he takes it inside. Bella Vance opens the envelope inside the trailer. They are the bloody photos of the victims.
And a boy Lloyd.
Are you ready?
Owen holds a rifle. He smiles and nods at Lauren in the driver's seat. She turns up the volume on the radio, then sends the truck into high gear. Bella Vance's face drops as he goes through the instant photos. He sees one of Biggs, and his hands tremble. Outside, the truck drives head-on towards the trailer. He flips through and sees Lloyd, and with trembling lips, looks up through the window, and sees the truck heading towards them at full speed. His brows knit together as he watches. The screen goes black. End credits. Directed and edited by Stephen C. Miller. Cast, Fabian Therese, Ryan Hartvik, Ray Wise, Dana Ashbrook, Derek Mears. Jacob Reynolds, Joseph McKellier, Boyd Kestner, Lisa Rotondi, Eben Costner, Stephen Dodd, Joe Fiore, Kay the Realtor, Trevor Gross. Site B and Epic Pictures Group present a Snowfort Pictures and Film Harvest production. Director, Stephen C. Miller, writer Ben Powell, producers, Travis Stevens, Eben Kostbar, Joseph McKellier. Executive producers, Zach Zeman, Jenna Wilbur, Gus Garcia, Patrick Avald, Shaked Berenson, Bob Bertosevich. Co-producer E.L. Katz, line producer, Eric Olson. Production executive on behalf of Fifth Year Productions, Tim Corcoran. Director of photography, Jeff Dolan. Production designer, Mary Steves. Costume designer, Bridget Colella. Original music, Kevin Riepel. Sound designer, Jeff Green. Editor, Stephen C. Miller. First assistant director, Joshua Lou Friedman. Second director, Tim Bannock. Second assistant director, Fran Broderick. Stunt coordinator, George P. Wilbur. Stunt rigger, Mike Strain Jr. Utility stunt, Madison Strain. Art director, Shannon Hookway. Assistant art director, Samuel Vito. GGME Audio, New York Film, New York State, Screen Actors Guild, SAG, production insurance provided by Momentous Insurance Production, stock footage provided by odesign/pond5.com. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. 2011 Nest Egg Film LLC, all rights reserved.